In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Jesus Christ, do not delay. That is what we prayed in the last stanza of the hymn of the day. Do you know one of the purposes for which God allows the world to suffer all manner of unbelief, all manner of scoffing, all manner of persecution and attacks upon the church, and also a seemingly delay of the Lord's coming? It is to inspire yearning in your heart and mine. Yes, yearning. Like Job, who yearned, "How my heart yearns within me for the second coming and the resurrection of his Redeemer." You're absolutely right. As Christians, because of our faith in Christ, we love our fellow man. We don't want the society in which we live to crumble into ruins like so many ancient civilizations before us. But we also must learn to believe that the kingdoms of this world are passing away. We are called to the things that we suffer to yearn for Christ's second coming because we adore him. And we want to see him no longer by faith alone, as through a glass darkly, but we want to see him face to face in the glory of the resurrection and what the Apostle Peter says in the epistle for this day, the new heavens and the new earth, which will be thoroughly purged of all sin, of all dross, of all wickedness, of all unbelief. A new heaven and a new earth, not only do you and I as Christians await the resurrection of the body, but we await and look forward to the resurrection of creation itself, the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness for all eternity dwells, and most importantly, in which we enjoy the presence of the Ancient of Days, God the Father, and his Son, who is made like the Son of Man, our Redeemer and Savior. It is easy for us as Christians to be caught up in the relentless assault upon our faith. Peter, in the first century, was describing what you and I are experiencing in the 21st century. Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, ain't it the truth? And saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? Na, 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 na. You Christians have been waiting. The world continues. You say he's coming again in glory to establish his kingdom. Rubbish. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." And it seems that way, doesn't it? Year after year, decade after decade, century after century. Remember, we're talking about the eternal God who has no beginning and no end. It is so easy for us to be impatient. But we who adore the Lord Jesus, because of his great love with which he loved us in the redemption of the world, we stop our ears to the scoffers of this present age. For this they willingly forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth which now exist are kept in store by the same word. And we cling to that word. No other certainty exists for us but the word. I can't make prognostications from this pulpit except what the word of God teaches. I can't tell you for sure whether the CDC is correct or incorrect, but I know the word is true. I cannot tell you which party has all the answers, except likely according to the scriptures, no party has all of the answers. But I know the word is true. It is easy for us to be caught up in the scoffing of this age and to lose sight of our hope and of our comfort, which is not in the kingdoms of this world, but rather in the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. For he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. How our heart yearns within us. On the last day when Jesus comes again in glory, Daniel beheld the vision of the great judgment. Behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and he brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him, worship him, adore him. A kingdom which is everlasting, which shall not pass away, a kingdom which shall not be destroyed. This is what we look forward to. So if need be, now for a little while, we as Christians are made to suffer the scoffing of a godless, unbelieving world, so be it. Because God prepares us through the things that we suffer for the greater weight of glory that shall be revealed in us, so that we yearn for his coming, and so that we offer this hope also to the world. Now, finally, in the gospel for today, we are presented with what is sometimes called the parable of the sheep and the goats. When Jesus comes again in glory with all his holy angels, the sheep, a reference to believers in Christ who hear his voice, are set at his right hand. And the goats, a reference to the unbelievers who in impenitence and unbelief have rejected Christ, are set at his left. And he says to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And to the goats, he says, "Depart into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and all his angels." And then most curious for us in this parable of the judgment is all the time that Jesus spends extolling works. Sometimes it shakes us up to hear him extolling works. For example, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him saying, "Lord, when? When did we do this?" The sheep are surprised on the last day. Why? It's not so hard. Because the focus of our faith is Christ, whom we adore. Because what is it that Jesus did for us? When we were hungry, spiritually hungry, when we were destitute and thirsty, when we were naked, having no source of comfort, when we were imprisoned in the prison house of our own sin, of Satan's bondage, of the threat of condemnation, of the accusation of the law, he fed us. He gave us to drink. He took us in. He visited us with his mercy. Recall down through the pages of the Old and New Testament those sheep who, adoring their Lord and his mercy and compassion for them, took care of others. Like the widow of Zarephath, who took Elijah into her home and continued to feed him during the famine with a little bit of meal and oil. Or the Shunammite woman who prepared a special study for the prophet Elisha so that on his long journeys he might have a place not only to lay his head, but to study the scriptures and to pray. Think of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who bent over backwards to serve unbelieving political rulers. Or think of the New Testament, when the Philippian jailer was about to commit suicide, feeling that Paul and Silas and the other prisoners had escaped. Do yourself no harm, the apostle said. We are all here. And he fell down on his knees saying, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household, and you will be saved. And from that moment, that jailer took Paul and Silas into his home, bandaged their wounds, poured on oil and wine, fed them, clothed them, nursed them. And Aquila and Priscilla, who attended the apostles without any thought of reward for themselves, or the women at the tomb who were doing their duty. All of these had something in common in the works of mercy that they performed as they fed the hungry and gave drink to the thirsty and clothed the naked and visited the sick and in prison. They all adored the Lord Jesus. Because adoring him is an attribute of faith. Faith is not mere intellectual knowledge. Faith is the living trust of the heart that looks to Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus, who stills the rumblings of our troubled heart and who by his mercy gives us comfort and peace and hope. And there is a miracle that takes place. Out of this faith that the precious gospel and Spirit of God produce in the hearts of his sheep, it is a busy and an active thing. It doesn't need to be told what to do, but before it is told, it already goes out and does it. It's why the sheep are so shocked in the day of judgment that Jesus should draw attention to their works. It wasn't because their works saved them. It was rather because their works gave testimony to the only God and Savior whom they loved and adored with all their heart. We lift up this Savior to the world. Between now and the second coming of our Lord Jesus, that in the church's compassion and works of mercy, they may see him who gave his life for them. Remember the Apostle Peter today. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. That too is one of the reasons why he tarries, and one of the reasons why you and I, as his sheep, are sometimes made to suffer, that in our suffering we might testify to him whose suffering is our life and salvation. O Jesus Christ, do not delay, but hasten your salvation. And he will. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.